Let us pray together. Almighty God, you have spoken to us through your Son. Let your written word now be spoken and heard by each of us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. Help us so that we will not refuse your calling or ignore your voice. May we all be taught through your powerful word. Bring our every thought captive to obeying Christ, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from the book of Amos, chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, and chapter 5, verse 12 through 15, and 21 through 24. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." The word of the Lord.
I thought I was going to be all alone up here except for Dan. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Now, you're sitting in front of all those nice boxes, and we're not going to touch them, right? Because they're for somebody else, okay? Okay. So today I want to tell you about fairness. Do you know what that is? Fairness, when somebody's fair to you? I'm going to tell you. Here are a couple of things that could happen to you or someone you know. Maybe one of the kids in school is going to have a birthday party and invites everybody in the class but you. How would you feel? Everybody got to go, but not you. Or how about in art class, the teacher brings out all new crayons. Oh, I love crayons. Everybody gets new crayons, but you. You get the broken old ones. How would you feel? Is that fair? Shouldn't everybody have the same thing? No? What do you think? Do you think that's a way to show everybody that you love them when you leave somebody out? I don't think so. I don't think that's how you show love, right? You would want everybody to have the same.
I do break crayons into half.
You do? Okay. So in the story today that we just heard read by Phil, it's not fair sometimes. Do you ever say that? I remember saying to my mom, because I had two sisters and a brother, and if they got something and I didn't, I said, "But Mom, that's not fair. What about me?" Right? Do you ever say that? That can't be fair. We don't like it. It doesn't make us feel good inside, because we're not treating each other with love then, right? And that's one thing God wants us to do, treat each other with love. In the Bible story today, that's one thing that God insists. Do you know what insists means? It has to happen. If somebody says, you have to do this, they're insisting you do that. And that's what God wants you to do this. He wants you to love one another, okay? Because God loves us each as his children, each of us. Even the big people are called God's children, even though they're not little like you. Everybody is God's children, okay? So we have to remember that. You're big for you, yeah. So Amos is trying to tell the people, everybody, you have to sit down. sit, okay? We're almost done. So Amos is trying to tell the people this special message from God, okay? How do you tell somebody something? You talk to them? Yes, we colored. How do you tell somebody a message? Holland's daddy stands with the microphone so everybody can hear, right? Do you know what a megaphone is? It's a cone shape, right? Something like this, a cone. And when you talk through it, it gets loud. How about we try that with our hands? Okay, like this. Have you ever done that? Right? That's talk loud. Now everybody can hear you, right?
There you go.
Okay, listen, here's the message. I want you to say these special words to everybody out there through your megaphone. Make your megaphone. Ready? Say this after me. God loves you. God loves you. Go ahead, say.
God loves you.
And wants you to love others.
Wants you to love others.
Everybody say it together so it's loud.
God loves you.
God loves you.
And wants you to love others.
Wants you to love others.
Okay. So let's pray now. Henry, come back. We're going to pray. We're gonna fold our hands. Come on. Holland. Sit down. We're going to pray. Okay, ready? Fold your hands. We're going to pray. And in my house, we fold our hands and close our eyes because we're talking to God, okay? Holland's going to stay by her daddy. Dear God, you sent Amos and other prophets to remind your people to love and care for you and care for others. Help us, Father, to treat one another with love, fairness, and justice every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I don't know where he went. But now, I have some candy if you're allowed. Ask mommy first before you open it.
It's okay if I have.
And I'm given two, and you can share with somebody. Show your love. Will you take them for later?
See, now they know how to be louder. It's great. Bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a song that we teach our kids. Maybe you know this song. Maybe you can help me along with it. It goes, Jesus loves... Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. All right, okay. So, I want to play this out with you a little bit. We teach our kids to sing about how much Jesus loves them, which is a wonderful thing, right? We want them to know that Jesus loves them. And just like Nancy taught them, we want them to express to others that Jesus loves them too. But in our society, especially in the church, especially in really popular manifestations of Christianity in our country today, the Christian faith, our love for Jesus, can tend to be reduced down to my relationship with Jesus on its own, that I have a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which again isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, I think it's really important that we nurture our relationship with Jesus, and that we do that through prayer and through studying God's Word, and that we do that in our homes. Like, that's really important. But too often, I'm afraid, we stop with my relationship with Jesus. when God created human beings, God created them male and female, and then, well, God asked them to be in relationship with each other. And Adam and Eve, in the book of Genesis, they have two kids, Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, they take offerings to God. And God accepts Abel's offering and rejects Cain's offering. Cain is upset with God and wants to know why God didn't accept his offering. And God says, Cain, you know, if you do what's right, I'll accept your offering. But if you're not careful, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is the thing that goes bump in the night. And if you're not careful, sin is going to creep up on you and take control of your life. Sure enough, Cain and Abel are out in the field together. Cain, in a fit of jealous rage, kills his brother Abel and buries him. And then God comes calling, says to Cain, God says to Cain, Cain, where is your brother Abel? For those of you who know the story, what is Cain's response? That's right. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Which is a really fantastic question. What do you think? Was Cain his brother's keeper? Seeing some of you say yes, some of you say no. There is a sense, though, that between these brothers, that the relationship matters. That they're supposed to care for one another. When Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the law from God, he receives these set of tablets, these commandments. And half of the commandments are about loving God. The other half of the commandments are about loving who? Loving your neighbor. In our summary of the law, almost every week, we hear these words that the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And a second, which is just as important, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Christianity has an ethical mandate for us to love our neighbors, for us to seek the welfare of people other than ourselves. Let me tell you a little bit about the prophet Amos. Amos, he lives in Judah, which is that southern kingdom that we talked about last week when we talked about Elijah. Elijah was up in the northern kingdom with King Ahab and all of the prophets of Baal. Well, Amos, he lives in the southern kingdom in Judah, but God calls him to leave his home and to head north, to head to a place which is not his home, to proclaim a message from God. And the message from God is one that, quite frankly, I find to be a little bit unsettling, which is this. God says, you come to me. You worship me. You bring me offerings. You burn animals on the altar for sacrifice. You show me that you love me through these religious observances. But in truth, the tasty smell of roast meat is a smell that I find disgusting. And it makes me want to vomit. Why? because you claim that you love me, but there are people who live in your society who are starving to death, who are homeless, who are not able to make ends meet. And meanwhile, here you are with all of your riches. You live in these fantastic houses. You eat more than your fill. And you bring your sacrifices to me, and you claim that you love me. I despise your sacrifices. Amos says, look around. Look around at the land that we live in. See how dry it is. See how much rain is needed. You think you need rain? You think you need rain to make your society prosper? You think that rain is going to make the difference? Let justice roll down like mighty waters. Righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the gift that I require from you, Amos says. Seems that in Amos's day, they lived in a society where some people had multiple houses and other people were homeless. Seemed that in Amos's day, in the society that he was speaking to, there were people who were eating much more than what they needed to, and yet there were still people who were going hungry and starving to death. Which I have to tell you makes me highly uncomfortable. You know why? Because I live in that country too. I live in a place where people serve their country and they go overseas to put their lives on the line to maintain freedoms that we claim to have. And then they come back and they don't have health care and they don't have any place to live and they don't have anywhere to work. That's the place where I live. And then I come to church on Sunday mornings and I proclaim this love of God. And I hope that it fills all of our hearts with good feelings. But in truth, if we aren't actively seeking justice on behalf of other people, then our religion is actually meaningless. Because there is an ethical mandate to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What we do in our own religious observances only matters if our actions the other days of the week seek the justice and fulfillment for all people. And every day that we live in a society in which some people are homeless and some people go hungry and some people don't get educated is a day in which we continue to displease God. So where is the good news in all of this, Pastor? Well, the good news is maybe not for us. It's maybe for those that we will encounter out in the world. The good news is for the poor. The good news is for the homeless. The good news is for the hungry. The good news is for those who suffer from these injustices, which is that God loves them. That God has a heart for them. You read some of the writings of missionaries who have gone to other places to proclaim God's love for those in need. And they write that there are societies in which people who are poor, people who go hungry, people are homeless, they don't know that God loves them because they don't have any sign of it. It's pretty easy to say God loves you, but how am I supposed to believe God loves me if every night there's a chance I might not wake up in the morning? But these missionaries, they say they go and they proclaim this good news, and it changes things. This gospel of Jesus Christ, this ethical mandate to let justice roll down like mighty waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, has an impact on these communities. It has an impact on these societies. People hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and their lives change. Not in ways like cleaning up their language, not using so many swear words or going to church more often, but in ways that matter. Sharing what they have with those who are in need. We come close to the season of harvest, which we're fairly disconnected from here in the New York metro area. There are not a whole lot of farms for us to see this in. But where I'm from and where I'll be going here in the next few hours, the combines are rolling and the corn and the soybeans and the wheat, it's all coming in. There's plenty. There's plenty. And yet there are some who hoard those things for their own wealth. But this prophet Amos, it won't let you sleep at night. If you take it to heart, you will not be able to sleep until you've done something. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. probably made these words most famous of all in his I Have a Dream speech. And truthfully, African-American churches, black churches, talk about this stuff all the time. It's their daily lived reality. In a world like ours, in a country like ours, where racism still runs rampant, they understand the need for justice. They understand that every action that they do has an impact on the world. And we can learn something from them, friends. We can learn that this is what God wants from us. This is the gift that God really desires from us. Our thoughts and our prayers, well, they're all well and good. God wants us to give Him all of the glory and all of the praise. But the sweet smell that fills God's nostrils is not our empty religious observances, but it's action that seeks the betterment of our world, that seeks justice for those who are downtrodden, who fall on hard times. And as long as we continue to sit idly by in a society where some are well fed and some go hungry, then we're not living up to God's call on our lives, friends. So be in prayer over the days, the weeks, the months, maybe the years ahead on how God is calling you to respond out of a place of faith, out of a place of reliance on God. How is God calling you to make a difference in this world, in the communities in which you live? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we confess that these words from the prophet Amos are not words we like to hear. We would much rather hear about how we're doing everything right, about how we are completely fulfilling everything that you call us to. So Lord, help us to be convicted today that as individuals and as a church, we fall short of your call to justice. We recognize that in our world is justice is less an ever-flowing stream than it is a trickle. But Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we know that you can lead us to make a difference. So help us to put our trust in you enough to do what your word and your will requires of us. Help us to know what that is. Help us to discern how you're calling us to be the seekers of justice in our world. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.